This is a message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. For other sermons from Antioch, you can visit the church website at antiochchurchnc.org. Now, let's turn our hearts to the Word of God.
We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34, so you can be turning there. Last week, you will remember, we were in the cemetery with Jesus. As he healed Legion, as he cast out many demons from him, restoring him to wholeness. And you remember what the people of the area asked Jesus to do? When they saw the man sitting at Jesus' feet, completely delivered from demons, sitting there fully clothed, not naked anymore, in his right mind, not crazy anymore, wild-eyed anymore, what did they ask him to do? They asked Jesus to leave. So what did he do? He left. They got back in the boat and they crossed to the other side. Listen, Jesus came through the storm, not just to teach his disciples a lesson, but as I said last week, because there was someone, one man, who needed to be delivered. He came through the storm for one man. But, important, when Jesus left, the testimony of what he had done for the man formerly called Legion remained. The one who had been restored went to the 10 cities. That's what Decapolis means. He went to the 10 cities in that region, and he told them what the Lord had done for him. Now, today we're going to see Mark employing the story within a story technique, the sandwich. We've talked about it in previous weeks, where Mark starts with a story, and then he interrupts himself with a different story, and then he comes back to the first story. It's the ABA technique, where the B, the middle of the sandwich, controls the whole narrative. So let's read verses 21 through 34. We're going to look at the story of a desperate woman today, before we look at the story next week of a dying girl and her desperate father. And then we'll examine the story today under three main points that I borrow freely from William Hendrickson, who's passed on. I would have asked his forgiveness and his permission. And his three points are faith concealed, faith rewarded, faith revealed. Mark 5, 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." As I said, we will look at Jairus' story next week, but you see here that time was of the essence. The one thing that Jesus did not have time for was an interruption. But Jesus saw interruptions, unlike us most of the time, right? COVID. He saw that as an opportunity. An interruption for Jesus was always an opportunity. When Jesus says his daughter's at the point of death, it could be translated at death's door, and the door is swinging open. Okay? She was within possibly an hour of dying, and there was not a moment to spare, but Jesus was forced. No, he chose to spare that moment. His response to Jairus to go and help him with his daughter, his response to the woman in the crowd who needs him is the same. He has compassion on the individual. He has compassion on human beings in need. He crossed the sea in a storm to deliver Legion. He crosses it again to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. and to meet the needs of this woman who has suffered. So again, there are two stories here woven together by Mark in a remarkable way. Both involve females who were touched by Jesus and healed. Both involve 12 years. The woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. That's how old the daughter of Jairus is. In both stories, Jesus is questioned or even rebuked. Questioned, rebuked by his disciples, and then rebuked and scoffed at by the mourners we will see next week. In both stories, and in the encounter with Legion, Jesus comes into contact with uncleanness. According to Jewish law, the woman with the issue of blood was unclean. So was the dead child. So was the demoniac. In all three stories, Jesus takes away uncleanness and gives back the cleansing wholeness of God. That's the gospel right there in a sentence. Jesus takes away that which is unclean, our sinful hearts, and he gives us back the wholeness and the cleansing power of God. Let's look first then at faith concealed. Faith concealed, verses 24 through 28. We're told of this woman that she's been sick with this sickness for 12 years, this issue of blood. The word in verse 26, suffered much, is an interesting word. It's a graphic word that can mean whip or scourge or torment. It combines physical suffering, the blood loss, which we get the idea that this was continual, not monthly, obviously. This was a continual blood loss. It combines the physical suffering with the shame that comes with it, the uncleanness. And that's what one would feel who's being publicly scourged, as Jesus will be at the end of his life. You feel the pain of suffering and the humiliation of public scrutiny. This woman was, there's a cascade here. Mark says she has suffered much under many physicians. Interesting, Luke doesn't include that little phrase there about physicians. She suffered much under many physicians. She's spent all that she had. She's no better, but rather grew worse. This woman is out of money, she's out of hope, and she's out of time. You could say her prognosis was not much better than Jairus' daughter, who lay on her deathbed at the time. Because of her condition, because of the Levitical ceremonial laws, she's lost everything, lost her health. She lost her wealth trying to get her health back. And she's lost status in the community. For 12 years, she has been unclean. But wait, she's not lost everything. What does she still have, saints? Everybody say it. Faith. She has faith. She has not given up. Despair is a strong word that speaks of those who have given up. They're no longer hopeful. Well, she's not quite at the point of despair. She's heard about Jesus. She has enough faith to believe that if she just touches the hem of his garment, which may have been a little superstition there, it may have gone back to the Old Testament laws of the ceremonial robes of the priest, all those that didn't have magical powers in them. We don't know, but she believes if she just touches his clothing, she'll be healed. Here again is a recurring theme in the book of Mark. For all of us to act on what we hear about Jesus is a mark of a disciple. Not just to hear, but to act. Disciples don't just hear stuff. Disciples do what they've heard. This woman has heard about Jesus. So she takes a step to come to Jesus despite being unclean, not knowing whether she can even get close to him. And then she takes the final step of reaching out and touching his robe. It was faith concealed because she touched his robe. Now, some believe that probably he had the tassels on the corner of his robe, as Jewish men would do, and there was a tassel at the bottom right corner or bottom left corner, and she stooped way down. She was incognito here. She's hoping nobody recognizes her as that woman who has that condition that makes her unclean. She's in the crowd, incognito. She reaches down, concealed, to touch the tassel on the corner of his garment, hoping that she will be healed and then she can go her way and never be discovered. Mark says when Jesus asks, "Who touched my garments?" the woman came in fear and trembling. She came in fear and trembling and fell down before him. You get the idea that she had already begun to move away, right? She's slowly moving away, disappearing into the crowd as soon as she touched the Lord's robe. Faith concealed. It was concealed, but it was acted upon. That's the point here. But faith concealed is also faith rewarded. Verse 29, as soon as she touches Jesus' garment, immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. When is faith rewarded, saints? Always. All the time. We may not be instantly healed as this woman was, but we are always rewarded for faith, right? I'll show you a verse in a minute, but I thought about the prophets who followed Elijah. Remember Elijah, the great prophet, right? He had a following. Everywhere he went, the sons of the prophets, they were called. They were in schools. They were learning to be prophets like Elijah. And wherever he went, the sons of the prophets showed up. And they followed him, this great man of God in whom the Spirit worked powerfully. But you can read in 2 Kings 2, it tells the story of Elijah making his last journey. And Elisha refusing to leave his side. They go to Bethel. The sons of the prophets there, the Bible says they stood at some distance. They did not follow Elijah from there. Elisha stood with him and followed him from there. They went to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets in Jericho came out to watch this great man. They came out to stand at a distance to observe what he was doing. But they did not follow Elijah. Elisha did. They came to the Jordan, and 50 of the sons of the prophets went with him as well there. But they stood at a distance from him while Elijah and Elisha stood by the Jordan. Now, the point is, none of them came close to Elisha. Only Elijah had the faith, the courage to do that. None of them received a blessing from God like Elisha did. Elijah was brought up into heaven in a whirlwind, and only Elisha saw that. When is faith rewarded? It's always rewarded. Faith is always rewarded. You can read in Hebrews, it's the hall of faith. And these people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 are not just those ones who conquered victoriously and were rescued from the fire, rescued from the lion's den. Included in that list are the names of people who were destroyed, who were persecuted to death. But they also believed, and they also were rewarded in a way that they could not imagine. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 says, "It is impossible for God, without faith, it's impossible to please God." And then it says in so many words, "It is impossible for God not to reward those who diligently seek Him." He is a rewarder of those who seek Him by faith. It's a wonderful promise. Notice here, faith was rewarded even before it was revealed. And I thought of Isaiah, that wonderful verse in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. I'll just quote it for you. It says this, this is God speaking to Isaiah, to His people. "Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear." And that's what we see on display here in this woman. Now, faith rewarded becomes, finally, faith revealed, verses 30 through 34. Jesus asked the question, "Who touched my garments?" Why? He knew power had gone out from him. Kind of an interesting thing there. Jesus knew that someone had received the power of God through touching his clothes. And Mark tells us in verse 30, he says, Who touched my garments? Why would he stop and ask? Perhaps everybody, including the woman, that Jesus was going to give a stern rebuke. He's asking so he can rebuke somebody for touching him without permission, right? And nobody's admitting it. It was shameful for a woman in that culture to touch a man, even his clothing, in public. So maybe the woman was afraid to admit for that reason. But why would Jesus press to know who touched him? Could it be that he wanted to complete the healing process? Could it be that Jesus was not just interested in the fact that someone had received a physical miracle of healing from him? He wanted that same person to know the wholeness and healing that's only available through a spiritual touch from him. James Edwards writes, "She wants a cure, a something, whereas Jesus desires a personal encounter with someone." I'm going to move on from there. I know some of you are writing that down. I can come back to it. But discipleship is not simply, again, Edwards says, discipleship is not simply getting our needs met. It's being in the presence of Jesus, being known by him, and following him. So faith concealed must become faith revealed. And I think, too, I think the reason Jesus wanted to know who had done it, and I think he knew who had done it, right? I think he wanted to speak publicly to the healed condition of this woman who had been unclean and therefore an outcast, so that she could now be clean and welcomed into society. Now, Peter, as we're told in Luke's account, Mark says the disciples, Luke tells the truth, right? He said, no, it wasn't the disciples, it was Peter, right? And he opens his mouth at this point. You know what that means? When Peter opens his mouth, it's just to make room for his foot. You remember, I think of Peter, when I think about Peter saying this, he reminded me of Amelia Bedelia. How many of you children know who Amelia Bedelia is? I see some adults raising their hands too, right? She's a wonderful character. You ought to read the Amelia Bedelia books, because she takes everything stone cold literally. If you walk out of a room and you say, you know, cut the light, she goes looking for a knife. So Peter, you know, Jesus is asking who touched me. Peter's going to try to help him out here. You know, he's just being a nice guy to Jesus. He says, you know, Master, the whole multitude, I mean, everybody's pressing against you. You know, Lord, I mean, you might better say, who's not touching me right now? I'm just trying to help you out here, Lord. Now, I'm making light of it, but there's nothing light here. Peter is rebuking Jesus. He's questioning Jesus. He's asking Jesus, why would you ask such an obvious question? Why would you do that? How does Jesus respond? Does he respond to Peter? Everybody said, no. He simply ignores Peter. Now, that brings to mind two comments, one on Peter's comment and one on Jesus' response. What if every time we said something that was judgmental or disrespectful or sinful, what if every time we said something like that, we got a sharp pain in our gut? I mean, a really sharp pain, like a really, it would bend us over double every time we said something like that. You think we say stuff like that as much as we do? I have a friend who said, I wish stupid hurt. Because if it did, maybe we wouldn't do it so much. Second comment. Most of the time, the things that people say that are just plain dumb don't need a response. And so Jesus may have rebuked Peter later by the campfire. Hey, Pete, come here. Sit with me. Let me talk to you about something. We don't know if that happened or not. But we know that Jesus simply ignored it because his intention right then was to find the person who had acted in faith. Peter's acting faithlessly with his comment. She's acting in faith. So he calls her out of the crowd, as he does each one of us, hello, asking us also to make our faith known. He doesn't want us to have faith concealed. Someone touched him, by the way. Lots of people were touching him. But only one person at that moment touched him with a purpose. Remind you again of what I've said many times. Many come to worship, even on a Sunday morning when it's 100 degrees, to worship. But how many come with a dead set purpose of touching the Lord? How many on your way here are asking the Lord, Lord, would you help me today to be in your presence? Would you help me today to touch you? Would you help me today to hear you and to obey you? Many read their Bibles, but how many do we read? How many read it with the intention of touching the Lord? Many pray, but how many times do we pray when we're dead set on touching the Lord with our prayers. Why does Jesus look for the one who touched his garment? Again, to complete the circle. Psalm 51:15 says, call upon me. Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. You shall glorify me. You see how the process works? The woman has called upon the Lord in her own way. He has delivered her instantly. The blood flow, in fact, think about this, the blood flow stopped and healing came instantly. Inasmuch as the wind stopped and the waves stopped moving instantly at the word of Jesus on the sea, the woman was instantly healed. Now all that's left, and this was critical for the sake of this woman's heart, was that she be able to give thanks, give praise to the Lord. You called, I delivered, now you give praise. At this point, she's like the 10 lepers who went away and realized as they're going away that Jesus has healed their leprosy. Remember that story? How many came back to give thanks to the Lord? Only one. Jesus says to the one, where are the other nine? So this woman is able to complete the circle to give thanks to the Lord. She comes with fear and trembling. She falls down before Jesus. She tells him the truth of what she has done. It's always good to tell Jesus the truth, saints, right? And it will never be met with rebuke or shame or more suffering. For the first time in 12 years, she stands before a physician who has helped her. Without a doubt, for the first time in her life, she stands before the only one who can meet every desire she's ever known. Not just the desire that this issue of blood would cease, but every desire for happiness and wholeness and joy and contentment in life. She looks at Jesus and sees that in him. Jesus looks at her and says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, be healed of your disease. Several things going on there very quickly. He said this so the multitude could hear. Be healed of your disease, multitude, hear me. This woman is healed. Receive her into the community. But then he says, more importantly, he calls her daughter. Daughter, go in peace. You're my daughter now, and now you can go in peace you've never experienced before. Not just the peace of being absent from the disease, but the peace of being present in the Lord. Not just for now, but for eternity. Perfect despair that day met perfect love. Let's close with prayer, and as we do, let's prepare our hearts for communion. And those who are going to be passing the trays might want to get ready for that. Let's prepare our hearts to receive communion, and maybe you need to touch the Lord this morning in a way that you haven't yet today or this week. Let's take a moment and speak to Him in the quietness of your own prayers as you prepare your heart for communion, and also as you deal with what He's spoken to you in this text. I'll be quiet for a few seconds and let you pray in your hearts. Father, I pray that you would increase our faith, and our faith would not be satisfied by just hearing of you and thinking good thoughts about you and gathering with your people, but our faith would not be satisfied until we are walking daily, day by day, moment by moment, in the grace that you give us to walk in obedience. Help our faith, Lord, to be faith that reaches out and touches you in prayer and touches you in the word as we study it, as we read it, as we hear it preached, and faith that speaks to others about what you have done. Like I'm sure this woman could not stop telling the story of how this man, Jesus, had healed her and had delivered her soul. Lord, give us boldness and faith and courage to do that. Lord, maybe we have a special need this morning. I pray that even as we take communion this morning, that you would reach out and touch us as we reach out to you. You would heal us and deliver us, set us free from bondage, set us free from those sins that we just can't seem to get rid of. We pray that you would help us today to take that step in your power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. Antioch meets every Sunday for worship at 10 o'clock a.m. at 1600 Powerline Road in Elon. You can download other messages by Pastor Fox at antiochchurch.cc. You can also learn how to order his books or subscribe to his blog at jmarkfox.com.